This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they do a great job of switching the looks that they're giving. Obviously, we know about Chris Jones. He's a game wrecker, one of the best, if not the best, interior D-lineman in the game right now. You pair that up with some of their DBs and linebackers, they're flying all over the field. They got guys that are really gap sound in the run game as well. So, again, we're going to have our hands full. It's a very good unit that we're about to face.
You know who that is. That's the quarterback. That's Josh Allen. Talking about the Chiefs and the sneaky good defense that they've had for several years now. I have to say, I have all the respect in the world for Chris Jones.
One
for like helping, like kind of be like, hey, yeah, Buffalo's a legit place.
They have the best wings, all that stuff.
Like basically saying everything that Jonnu Smith was trying to like not say about the Bills, he is saying. But it's also one of the best guys in the game when it comes to the sport. Like he is a guy who makes plays. He is one of the top players in the league. And I respect Chris Jones because it's hard to admit it, but he ruined their divisional round last year. Josh Allen has Khalil Shakir in the middle of the end zone wide open, and he shorts it. Why is he short it? It was a great bull rush by Jones on Deion Dawkins.
Dawkins steps on Josh Allen's toe.
And but the thing is that it actually interrupts his throwing motion.
It does.
And the thing is that that's when you go ahead and look up and say, yeah, other teams have good players and they make good plays. But if Chris Jones doesn't make that play, the Bills score a touchdown, and now Kansas City is required to march down the entirety of the field. How much different is everything if that play doesn't get made? Outcome, fans in quotation marks, I should say, despicable people.
aren't making threats
to Tyler Bass.
Yeah.
And probably the confidence issues that were going on throughout for him, they probably kind of subside. In that sense, too.
Here's the thing. It goes back to the same point everyone makes with the Scott Norwood thing. Should he have ever been in that position?
No. Probably not.
No.
No. And should Tyler Bass have been the one to leave it up to when it only would have tied the game? Hell no.
Right. The Chiefs have gone down in 13 seconds on the Bills before.
To score a field goal.
There was over a minute left in the game. Almost two.
But there's a difference between tying a game with a field goal and taking the lead with a touchdown.
Right. But they could have won it with a field goal if they just wasted the clock because you just tied the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's like they didn't have to go far.
Quite honestly, I think Tyler Bass's miss in there kind of like helped alleviate any potential future pain of making it worse.
Mm-hmm. Right, getting hooked back on for the last
minute. My point is that Chris Jones is one of the best in the league, and the Bills' offensive line has been relatively good, but he still terrorizes them because that's what good players do. That's what great players do, I should say. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect the hell out of Chris Jones and what he does because, again, he is a fantastic player. By the way, Barnes firm injury report for this game. No Keon Coleman, no Dalton Kincaid. Matt Milano obviously still out as well as he's got the injured reserve practice window open. Amari Cooper, officially questionable. Spencer Brown at right tackle, questionable. We talked about the Bills' offensive line. They might have to settle in with their first setback if Spencer Brown cannot go. We haven't had the Bills offensive line dealing with injuries a lot over the last couple of seasons. Yeah, you heard it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real challenge.
Very much so.
Do I think that David Edwards can step up and play relatively well? Yes. Do I want him to have to be there? Probably not. Spencer Brown has his issues with, like, you know, the penalties this year, but otherwise he's been playing good football. And if he's banged up, well, he might not be able to bring the same quality that he is capable of. That could be a big deal, and it's something that we're going to have to look out for in that game. Mm-hmm. Is the health of Spencer Brown, or if he does not play, what does the matchup on the right tackle look like?
Yeah, because that could get interesting.
It can get interesting, and interesting doesn't always mean good.
No, because you also don't have Dalton Kincaid.
The Sabres are interesting.
Right, yeah.
Sabres are also 8-1.
Right, but you don't have Dalton Kincaid, who helps Spencer Brown block on that side quite a bit, right?
Yes. Like,
there are pieces missing that. And Dawson Knox, if I had to pick an X factor for this game, Derek, I might be a little unorthodox here, but Dawson Knox historically against the Chiefs has played very well, and the Chiefs can't really, they don't do a great job guarding tight ends. And Dawson Knox, coming off that wrist injury last season, had a dip in production. The Dawson drops allegations came back for him. Everybody was going after him, right? I've been a believer. He's still my number one jersey pick, and I think he's going to have a big game. I think he at least tallies a touchdown and maybe close, I'd say around 75 yards of receiving. I think he makes some big plays for them, but he's my X factor for them this week.
You know
week.
Who's going to be my X factor this week? You talked on Orthodox. I'm going to take it like
even
to
further.
11. I'm taking it to 11, but it's also not tongue-in-cheek at all.
Okay.
Matt Collins.
Yeah, he tracked deep balls last week.
He tracked deep balls last week. He also was the leading receiver against Indianapolis. 4 catches, 86 yards on 4 targets. And guess what? Last week, or the week prior against Miami, 5 catches on 5 targets, 30 yards and a touchdown.
He's starting to be a pretty reliable receiver.
The inconsistency on the targets with him have kind of shaken out. Most infamously, the 2 losses, Baltimore-Houston. He had 3 catches on 12 targets in those 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Hollins, the other part was against Miami, he was cooking them and drawing penalties too. Those were not on the stat sheet. Mac Hollins does look like he's becoming more of what they envisioned of him being, this like pseudo wide receiver 3 in a pinch.
Yeah.
No Keon Coleman. Amari Cooper's questionable.
Okay, Mac.
Wide receiver 3 in a pinch.
And you have Shakir and Mac, and you're fine.
And you've got Curtis Samuel.
You being used as a wide receiver last week. Look at the difference that made.
Yes.
Instead of a gadget receiver.
Yes.
Like, seriously. He needs to be utilized like that, and he probably will this weekend.
What I'm saying is Mac Hollins has had himself a quietly good last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and that will be important. Your depth often gets tested in injury moments like these, especially at a wide receiver position that you're banged up in. But who's stepped up as of late? Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Hollins is going to be an important piece here for what you do.
Yep. And I go with Knox too, because he's made a couple big catches.
Now here comes my other big thing about this game.
Okay.
And it's this. Travis Kelce is going to get his. He loves to torment the Bills, and it's going to happen no matter what. And I need everyone to be okay with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I need y'all to be okay with Travis Kelce having 7 catches and you seeing Taylor Swift on the screen 15 times. You have to be okay with it, okay? Deal with it. It's what happens with the Bills and Chiefs. What do the Bills do, though, in those regular season wins against the Chiefs? Travis Kelce still gets his. But what the Bills do best when they face Kansas City and win is they limit what others do.
Yeah.
They mitigate the damage from the rest of the team. In that playoff loss this past year, in the divisional round, who got going for them, in addition to Kelce? Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
And Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
MVS. That's right. He made the...
He tracked down deep balls and made catches
right.
when he was infamous for starting to drop passes.
And he couldn't do it in the regular season at all. He just somehow learned.
And then he shows up in Buffalo, makes a couple of those plays. Then Buffalo signs him. He's not cracking the roster. He gets cut. Casually goes out in the first half with New Orleans last week.
And just kills it.
3 catches for like 127 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
Like, bro, you're trolling us and I respect it, but at the same time, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You selfishly want it for your own fan base, but it's like, I got to respect it, man.
Yeah.
You know, good for you.
Well,
good for you that you're actually getting the production again, and it stinks that it wasn't coming here because I want it.
Right. But look at the Bills' wide receiver room. It wasn't going to happen.
There were too many faces, but the problem is that, you know, you didn't see that from him at all in Buffalo either.
Not even in training camp. He didn't look like he was going to be doing any of that.
Exactly. So it's kind of like a wash your hands of the situation thing. But I think, though, that Mac Hollins is going to be important. But also, you got to limit what the Chiefs do outside of that. And includes Mr. infamously getting the Bills fan base angry in late April, Xavier Worthy. If he makes a play or two, guys and gals, don't freak out. It's okay. But has he been doing anything really all that important this season?
Not really.
Keon Coleman has been the better receiver. Dwayne Carter was a great addition to that trade. So if anyone wants to say anything complaining about that trade ever again, and I will drop hands with some people in this building if I have to.
And it's not going to be staged.
You're wrong, and it's okay. It's okay to be wrong. The Bills helped themselves with that trade. We're done with it once and for all.
The peace
treaty. I'm done with it.
The treaty's been signed.
No, this is not a treaty to be signed. This is a note basically from like Parks and Rec where it says I can do whatever I want.
You're Ron Swansoning right now.
I'm Ron Swansoning this moment right now of if anyone has a problem with Xavier Worthy in this game tomorrow, just know the Bills, A, have the better receiver, and B, when he comes back, Dwayne Carter is a disturber on the defensive line in a year where Ed Oliver has been quiet.
Yeah, a rookie from Duke comes in and he's making splashes.
Hey, you know,
and you wouldn't have had that pick if you didn't trade that.
You wouldn't have had that pick if you made that trade. Oh, man. Oh.
How upset I am.
Also, I didn't get the same conversation of, oh, the Bills helped the Carolina Panthers get Xavier Legette.
Right.
Isn't that what happened, too?
It's exactly what happened.
Yeah, they traded down with Carolina. But we don't hear that. Don't let the Chiefs live in your head, even if they win on Sunday. Time to get connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Luke in Rochester. Luke, welcome to a Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Listen, Worthy is the new Roscoe Parrish. But anyway, that's not my main thought.
Yeah.
I appreciate your trepidation about the game. Of course, the Chiefs can win. They won the last two Super Bowls. But, like, Mahomes hasn't really been playing well this year or even last year. And unlike what you guys just said, I think Kelce has markedly slowed down this year. But he's kind of sluggish. Their whole team, the way they've been winning, the way you guys have described, kind of reminds me a few years ago when the Steelers won 10-0 and then they proceeded to lose 5 out of their next 6 games. I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Chiefs because, like you guys mentioned, it's really the Bills and the Steelers that are going to primary challenge. Maybe the Texans if they get Collins back and some other players. But there is no way the Bills are losing this game unless turnover differential is like 2+ or McDermott makes some kind of silly coaching gaffe. And if things play out where Allen continues to play pretty steady and interception free, Bills will pancake that team the way they're playing. Mahomes even knows it because he appealed to his team to play better as if he could magically summon them to all suddenly have a great game. That's what it's going to take for the Chiefs to really beat the Bills this week. And if Knox doesn't step up, it'll be really disappointing. And finally, your point about Jones, that was a stellar play. It wasn't so stellar on Dawkins' part. Hopefully Dawkins plays a lot better against Jones than he did in that divisional game. Go Bills.
Luke, I appreciate the call. There's a lot there to get to. The thing is that Travis Kelce gets his against the Bills. And yeah, everyone could be like, oh, it was AJ Klein playing after being on the couch. The thing is that this historically happens with him. But it's also they're force-feeding Travis Kelce this year. During the call, Joe saw my face like light up with like bug eyes, Adam Gay style.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what was going on there.
And I'll get to that stat in a moment. However, when it comes down to it, as Luke said, I don't know if the same thing happens. Like there's a lot of similarities with that Pittsburgh team from 2020. Even as bad as he's playing, Mahomes is still miles and miles better than the quarterback of the Steelers in 2020. It was the shell of Ben Roethlisberger. They are a better football team than that. And the rest of their schedule is significantly worse than what Pittsburgh had to deal with. I expect them to fully get the one seed. And I don't need to worry about that conversation, honestly. Now, are you ready for the real ridiculous stat that had my eyes bug out Adam Gay style? Travis Kelce leads this team with 499 receiving yards on 60 receptions. Do you know who's second with 288 yards? Do you know who's second?
DeAndre Hopkins?
No. He has 171 yards in three games with the Chiefs, so he's going to definitely get there.
Yeah, he'll get there. I thought he might have already had like a big game. I haven't but watched
Rashee Rice.
It is Rashee Rice, who has played four games this year after getting hurt and being down for the rest of the season. Has 288 yards. That is good for second on the Chiefs.
Crashy.
Xavier Worthy and his 246 yards are third. Worthy has been bleh. And Mac Hollins is at 197. So I'm telling you right now, I really don't think we need to worry about Xavier Worthy. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be the big issue.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, Travis Kelce typically gets his against the Bills.
Right.
If you can limit what DeAndre Hopkins does for the second time this year, by the way, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
But there is a difference between Mason Rudolph and
Mayo
Patrick,
boy.
And Patrick Mahomes throwing the football to you.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's a marked difference.
It was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It was Rudolph
not
against
Mayo
Buffalo.
Boy. Yeah.
But Mayo Boy is probably not helping you anything either.
No, listen, you saw this a couple years ago. I think it's kind of a similar thing. When Juju Smith-Schuster first went to the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Bills game, that matchup in Arrowhead that year in the regular season, he got his too, Juju. He had that big spin-off touchdown. He threw a couple of the Bills, I think Poyer off of him, and then ran it into the end zone, right?
Yes.
They're going to each get theirs. The Bills-Chiefs games have always come down to,
can you limit what the other weapons do?
Hold on to the freaking football and burn the clock out as much as you can.
No, no,
and
no.
Just
when the Bills
score.
When the Bills have been at their best against Kansas City, they run through them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about the philosophy of holding on to the football. I don't know why it changes in the playoffs. That is why I don't really worry about this. Because Luke brought up, you know, like if the Bills lose this game, like maybe it's a coaching decision thing. First of all, I'd rather take that coaching brain fart in the regular season in week 11
yeah,
than
the
National the
divisional
League.
Round or AFC championship.
Yes, mm-hmm. Rather than in the playoffs in the divisional round against Kansas City. Which basically, based on how the season's going, you're not seeing Kansas City in the divisional round. Can you limit what DeAndre Hopkins is able to do? Can you stop Kareem Hunt from running all over you? Those are the questions that you have to worry about with the Bills here this weekend. And that is what I'm going to key on the most. I'm not scared of Xavier Worthy. Those are words that can come back to haunt me.
Yeah, you got to watch. I can see that whipping around.
But look at the big play metrics. Xavier Worthy this year has two plays of 20-plus yards receiving. Two. Do you know who else has two plays of 20-plus yards receiving this year? James Cook, Mac Collins, Ray Davis, Dawson Knox. There's more big play element coming from the Bills' underlings at wide receiver than Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
So I'm not scared of Xavier Worthy. And I know I can eat those words, and I'm just going to worry about that part right now. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be your key. Can Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford do what they do and limit the damage that Hopkins does? Here's to hoping. Because that's the big deal.
We hope.
But offensively, you need to be able to solve the Rubik's Cube known as the Chiefs. They're a tough defense. They are very good at what they do. Like I said, Chris Jones is one of the best in the game.
Yeah, he's going to wreak havoc. You already know he is. Especially, the one thing I am looking at specifically in this matchup is their offensive line.
Yeah, it's bad. Pass rusher needs to do their job.
Pass rusher needs to do their job. Their edge rushers, their tackles are both terrible on both sides. This is going to be a Greg Russo eating fest, I'm telling you right now.
It needs to be.
It has to be. But I think it will be because their tackles are so bad on both sides. You're either dealing with a rookie or someone who's just terrible. So, you know, Von Miller should have a good game too.
Yeah, Wanya Morris has not been good this
year.
Jawan Taylor is infamous for starting a play early.
They're going to have to set the edge and just win and get to the quarterback. That's going to be it.
That's going to be it. So hopefully that's what they're able to do and continue to put the pressure on. But they also have to be disciplined with it because Mahomes can run with the best of them.
Yeah. Well, you've seen it.
You've seen it. You know it. We've lived it. The only difference is the Bills also have that quarterback that can run around.
Maybe a little more effectively, that run a little more effectively, I should say, than the others.
Yes. We'll come back, and there's still plenty to talk about with this game. There's plenty to talk about with the Sabres as well. If you want to get in here still, there's still a half hour here for you. 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. Sports Talk Saturday continues on here on the radio home of the Bills and the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.